We always appreciate Susie singing for us. We have so many fine voices in our choir, and they all are a blessing to us. The young people come in before this service to pray with the pastors before we come in, and I told them that today was important because we were ordaining and installing officers, and one of the young men said, "Does that mean there's no sermon?" I said, "No such luck." Turn in your Bibles, please, to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read some selected portions from it. Today we are ordaining and installing elders and deacons and trustees, and I think it's an appropriate time to think together about what it means to be a Presbyterian. Many of us come from other denominations, and we don't always understand about being Presbyterian. I've selected this particular passage of Scripture because it deals with one of the distinctives of the Presbyterian Church, which is our concept of church government. We believe that our form of government comes right out of the Bible. And chapter 15 is an illustration of that fact. There are three basic forms of church government. There's a congregational form of church government where each local church, each local congregation is independent and separate from any other group of people. And while they might have some association, still, they're independent. They can teach what they want, believe what they want, and nobody can tell them what to do. At the other extreme is the episcopal form of church government, where you have an ecclesiastical hierarchy who rule the church, like cardinals and bishops and popes. But we Presbyterians fall somewhere in between. We do not believe in congregationalism because of our theology of the concept of the unity of the church. And therefore, we think all the churches ought to be connected and related to each other. But on the other hand, we do not believe that power ought to be vested in individuals. So the power to rule in the Presbyterian church is vested in councils and synods. And so our scripture this morning deals with a problem that arose in the church at Antioch, and they didn't know what to do about it. Now, the local church did not make that decision. On the other hand, an individual did not. They sent the question to Jerusalem to a council, and there a group of God's people discussed it and prayed about it and came to a conclusion. So then, the Presbyterian system is a system of government whereby the power to rule is vested in a council or a session or a presbytery or a synod or a general assembly, but they're all councils which have authority. Hear what the Bible says about this. But some men came down from Judea, they came down to Antioch, and were teaching the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And here's the problem. They were coming to the Christian church there in Antioch and saying, "Look, you want to be a Christian? You got to be a Jew first. You come to Christ through Judaism." And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So here was a problem arose. They sent them to a council to deal with the question. In verse 6, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, so everybody got to participate in the decision making, Peter rose and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, but cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you make trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, that is, the yoke of being a Jew, by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And so the council debates, and they come to a decision, and they decide that the Gentiles who turn to God do not have to become Jews first. And then in verse 22, then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. So the decision of the council is communicated then to the church. And then the chapter ends, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord and with many others also. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, we thank you for these men that you've called to be officers in your church, and as they're set apart today for the ministry to which you've called them, we ask your blessings upon them. And as we think together this morning on this solemn event about what it means to be a Presbyterian, give us insights that will help us be more effective in our lives for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of us are Presbyterians because we were born into the church through Presbyterian parents. I'm just sort of curious, how many of you were raised Presbyterian? Let me see your hand. You're impressed by all of that? Now you think that's impressive. Let me show you something. All of you who were not raised Presbyterian, raise your hand. Well, some are Presbyterian because they were raised. Some are Presbyterian because it was the closest church. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I suspect some of you are Presbyterian because you married somebody who belonged to the Presbyterian church. Presbyterians are kind of hard to get out of the Presbyterian church. Reminds me of the story of the Presbyterian who married a lady who was not a Presbyterian, and they couldn't agree on which church to go to. So for a while, every Sunday, one Sunday they'd go to her church, the next Sunday they'd go to his church, and somebody asked him how he had worked it out. He said, well, we go down each Sunday, we come to this corner, and one Sunday we turn to the left, and we go down to her church. The next Sunday, we come to that same corner, we turn right, and we go to the house of God. It may be that some of you are Presbyterian because it's a little bit easier to spell than Episcopalian. And also, I suspect there are many of you here this morning who joined Central not because it was Presbyterian, but because it was a place where the Word of God was preached. A place where you felt the move of God's Spirit, where you felt ministered to. You felt God was really at work in this particular congregation, and you didn't care what the name over the door was. It was a place you wanted to be a part of what God was doing. So in your case, the fact that Central happened to be Presbyterian really didn't matter to you that much one way or the other. But for that very reason, we need to understand who we are as Presbyterians. We come from different backgrounds. Some are Baptists, some are Congregationalists, some are Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic or Pentecostal or even Nazarene. And some have even a Jewish background. We've come to Central from a wide variety of backgrounds. And we didn't come to Central with spiritually empty hands. We brought some baggage with us. Now, some of it was good, and some of it wasn't bad, but it wasn't Presbyterian baggage, and that was something we needed to leave at the door. Let me give you just one illustration. Those of you who come from a congregational or a Baptist or an independent church background came here with the concept that each local congregation is free and independent, and nobody can tell us what to do. Well, that's not true in the Presbyterian church. So to be a Presbyterian, that understanding you had of church government should have been left at the door because it doesn't fit here. So what I want to do this morning is share with you some of the unique and distinctive things about us Presbyterians. And one of the first things we need to say is this. You and I may be Presbyterian in part because of our genetic makeup, because of our environmental conditioning, or our emotional structure, or our psychological personality. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it before or realized it, but we Presbyterians have certain tendencies. That is, we tend toward certain things, as opposed to other churches which might tend toward other things. You know, there's an old joke about you can always tell in a small community, you can tell which church is which by where it's located. For example, the Baptist church is located by the swimming pool. And the Methodist church is located by the firehouse. And the Episcopal church is located by the ice house. Although somebody corrected me and said it was next to the bar. I wouldn't say that. And the Presbyterian church is always next to the bank. We Presbyterians have certain tendencies. For example, we tend to be educated higher than the general population, and we even require our clergy to meet certain educational requirements. You must have 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary. Presbyterians tend to be middle class. Presbyterians tend to be white collar. And that's neither good nor bad, that's just the way it is. They tend to be non-emotional. Actually, we Presbyterians are very emotional, but we don't like for our emotions to get out of control. Therefore, we try to structure our church life so that it's not emotional and we don't ever lose control of them. Presbyterians tend to be logical, orderly people. Presbyterians tend to be moderate people who avoid extremes. For example, we don't like too much ritual as in the Roman Church or the Episcopal Church, but by the same token, we don't like totally free worship that has no order or structure and just keeps on going, you know, as in some Pentecostal churches, for example. And that's neither good nor bad. That's just the way we are. Again, we don't like too much music found in the typical independent, charismatic-type church. We don't care for too much of that. But by the same token, we don't want all of our music to be classical. We tend to be moderate. So people who have the same emotional structure or the same type of psychological personality tend to congregate in the same kind of church, which happens to be Presbyterian. So maybe you never thought of it that way before, but but perhaps you belong to Central for one reason, because you're comfortable here emotionally. It's often interesting to me when occasionally someone comes into our fellowship who's a little different from the average Presbyterian, or who has some emotional need at that point in his or her life that we don't quite meet, and they begin to say to us, well, you know, you ought to sing some these kinds of songs, or you ought to sing this kind of music, or if you would just loosen up and be a little freer in your worship, you'd be better off, and you'd be more spiritual, and you'd be more religious, and you'd worship the Lord better. Well, what they're doing is expressing their need at that particular moment in their lives, in their spiritual pilgrimage. And the fact is, we Presbyterians are very comfortable with who and what we are. And emotionally, being a Presbyterian meets our needs. That's just who we are and where we are, and we don't want to be different. If we did, we'd go to the Pentecostal church or the Baptist church or wherever. But we don't want to do that. We're Presbyterian. Now, having said all of that, let me go on to say that being Presbyterian also has some deeply spiritual elements to it. Maybe because we are orderly and like to have things done neatly and systematically, we Presbyterians like having a central authority in our lives. For that reason, the Bible is extremely important to Presbyterians. We take it seriously. It stands at the center of all we believe and do. For example, even our form of government, as I showed you earlier, comes from the Bible. Anywhere you find Presbyterians, you're going to find them being zealous about Scripture. And one of the controversies perennially and today among Presbyterians is over the authority of Scripture. And that's because we Presbyterians take the Bible seriously. So the first thing you say about Presbyterians is that the Bible is important to us and central to our faith. Now the second thing you can say about us is this. As a group of people, as a people of God, as a denomination, we believe that all the churches, the Presbyterian churches, should stand together in terms of what we believe the Bible teaches. Now that means that Presbyterians are always going to write down together what they believe in a confessional statement, and we're going to all say, okay, here's what we together as Presbyterians believe. We believe this at this time in history for our lives. Now, we don't believe the Bible is a matter of private interpretation, you see. We believe that the councils of the church need to say, here's what the Bible says about these things, and we all believe it together. Therefore, we are a confessional church. That is, we write down in a confession what we believe, and we're a confessional church. And somebody says, what do you believe? So here it is. Here's our confession of our faith. But thirdly, and tied in with that, is something else very important to us Presbyterians. We believe the Bible never gets through speaking to us. It never gets through speaking. God never gets through talking to us. God never shuts up. He keeps talking to us through the Bible, telling us in new situations, new things about himself and new things about us in changing times. And this means that we never get through writing confessions. We never get what the Bible says to us written down and say, well, that's it, that's the end of it. See how it works. This past week, I had the privilege of participating in the installation of a judge in the circuit court of this county. And I got to thinking about the whole judicial process right on up to the Supreme Court. I asked myself, why do we need a Supreme Court? Well, the answer is evident. The Bill of Rights, for example, is very short, very pungent, very simple, very plain. But the Bill of Rights is a living, viable, dynamic document. The job of the Supreme Court is to keep on telling us what the Bill of Rights says today to new and changed situations. It keeps on interpreting what those rights are. And so the Bill of Rights is a living document. Now, in a far grander sense, the same is true for the Bible. In changing times, in changing situations, in new problems, what does God say to us in these new situations through Scripture? So we Presbyterians never get finished writing our confessions of faith. We never get through writing out what God has to say to us. Now, sometimes people want to take a particular document or a particular confession of faith written in a particular time and say, this is God's final word to us. But that can never be. The Bible is alive. It's a living, dynamic document. We stand under the Word of God to be reformed, to hear what God says to us. But that's a process that never ends, so we not only are reformed by the Word, we keep on being reformed. We are reformed and reforming as God speaks to us. As long as we live, we will be writing new and maybe better, at least different confessions of faith, as God keeps talking to us in changing times and changing situations and saying to us, in this time in which you live with these kinds of problems, here's what my Word means to you. Now, a fourth thing we can say about Presbyterians is this. We take the church seriously. We believe in the church. We believe in the body of Christ, in the unity of everybody. Because if a man claims Jesus Christ is Lord, it doesn't matter what country he's in. It doesn't matter what his nationality or his race or color or anything else. If he claims Jesus is Lord, he's a part of the Holy Catholic Church. He's a part of the body. And that means two things to us Presbyterians.
On the one hand, we don't believe that each local church is separate and independent of anybody else, because that denies the unity of the body of Christ. And so our government, the way we govern ourselves, is an effort to express the unity of the church. That we are related to each other, and we are under spiritual authority of all these councils. Now, some of us who come from non-Presbyterian backgrounds may not understand that right away. We tend to think, well, Central is our church and nobody can tell us what to do. Well, you're wrong. Under our concept of the church, there are councils that can tell us what to do because we are under spiritual authority. And if you think nobody can tell us what to do, that's wrong, and that's not Presbyterian. And while no individual, such as a bishop or a pope, can tell us what to do, a duly elected and appointed council of the church has authority over us. And that's part of what it means to be Presbyterian. If we're not comfortable with that, it means we're just not comfortable with being Presbyterian. But taking the unity of the church seriously not only means that we believe our form of government comes from the Bible, it also means that because everybody who claims Christ as Savior is a member of the Holy Catholic Church, because we believe that, then we Presbyterians are always going to be ecumenical. We're always going to be open to other Christians. Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer, and he said that I do not pray for these only, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. So we Presbyterians are always going to be open to what God wants to do to unite his Holy Catholic Church. Now, I said these things to remind us of who we are. We must never forget that we hold and practice our faith within the context of the Presbyterian Church. And if we bring different backgrounds and different experiences into the Presbyterian Church, we must be careful not to try to force that baggage onto the Presbyterian Church when it doesn't belong there. We're not Baptists. We're not Congregationalists. We're not Pentecostals. We're not Episcopalians. We are Presbyterian. And we need to appreciate and understand what it means to be a part of the second largest Protestant group in all the world. With Christians of all kinds, from many lands and many different backgrounds and many different denominations, I rejoice that I share with them my salvation in Jesus. Someday, when we all get to heaven, there are not going to be any more denominations, and we're not going to be from different churches. We're all going to be a part of the Holy Catholic Church, the body of Christ. But until that day comes, I rejoice to hold my faith in Christ within the context of the Presbyterian Church. I'm a Christian first, but I praise God that in his providence, I'm a Christian who is a Presbyterian. Let us pray. God, thank you for our great church, for its great heritage, for what it is. And help us, Lord, as we take our stand in this day and time, to be faithful to what you've called us to be. And to your name be praise and glory. Amen.